hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Thank you, Brother
Ray. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, as we continue our studies through the book of Luke on our Sunday mornings. Today we come to two miracles that the Lord performs, the leper and the lame, paralyzed man. And as we look at these two miracles this morning, we're going to see, first of all, lessons on cleansing. And then when we look at the lame, we'll see lessons on victory. And of course, we're going to see that those two things are so much tied together. If we're going to have victory in our lives, for the Lord, there has to be cleansing. And so these two miracles are tremendous stories that we have in our Bible, as all of them are, but they bless our hearts, and hopefully we'll learn some lessons on cleansing and some lessons on victory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the miracles in the Bible. We thank you for the God that you are who performs miracles, that there is nothing too hard for you. You can save the worst of sinners. Lord, you can do anything. Whatever problems we are facing today, they're nothing for you to take care of. So help us as we learn these lessons this morning on what you can do for us as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look first of all at the leper, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 5 of Luke's gospel, it says that it came to pass when he was in a certain city, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. Now you know leprosy in the Bible as it's pictured is a type of sin. Leprosy, as we read it in the Old Testament, there were certain laws that they couldn't be with the lepers. They would be outcast and separated there. And leprosy is like sin. It destroys, it eats away. And so here's this man with leprosy and would have been avoided by anyone else, but not Jesus. Jesus welcomes all to come to him. And it says here that he seeing Jesus. And so if we're going to be cleansed from our sins, as this leper was cleansed from his leprosy, we must come to Jesus. He is the only hope for cleansing from our sins. We sing the hymn, "What can wash away my sins?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he is the only hope. And here's this man who had leprosy. He'd been to physicians and no one could heal. But Jesus has all power. And he comes and he recognizes that Jesus is the one who can heal. And no matter what sin that you may be battling in your life this morning, no matter how strong a grip you feel that that temptation has on you, that you just can't overcome it, Jesus is able to cleanse from anything. And we recognize that as the leper did. Then in verse 12, it says also that he fell on his face. If we're going to have our sins forgiven, we have to come to the Lord in humility. We have to remove all pride. Pride was the sin in the very beginning that caused Lucifer to fall from heaven, because he says, I'll be like the Most High. And God hates pride. We read that so much through the scripture. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he'll lift you up. And so if we're going to have our sins forgiven, one of the things we have to do is confess them. And the word confess in the Bible means to say the same things about our sins as God says about them. And we like to think they're not so bad, because we like to compare our sins to somebody else's, and it's certainly not as bad as this person over here, and we'll find somebody whose sins in our eyes is a whole lot worse than ours, and so ours don't look so bad to us. But when we confess them to the Lord, we are acknowledging that I'm as wicked as the Bible says I am, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we have to humble ourselves. Even as a little child, the Bible talks about remove the pride. We can't be cleansed if we think we can help God do it, because we can't do it. It's only seeing Jesus. We recognize him and remove the pride. Well, notice what he did next. When he sees Jesus, he fell on his face, and this is what he said to Jesus. He said, Lord. The word Lord is a word that means master. And whenever you have a master, the responsibility of the servant to the master is to do whatever he says. You don't need an explanation. It seems like in parenting nowadays, at least according to a lot of the psychologists and so-called professionals, telling your child, because I said so, is not good. You're not supposed to say, because I said so. You need to give them some kind of reason. My parents didn't know anything about that. You know, that was a good enough reason, because they said so. Because when we are under the being submissive to our Lord, to our parents, to our master, we don't need a reason, because we trust him. Our Lord and master, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's never going to command us to do something that's not good for us. He's never going to command us to do anything that's not honoring to him. So we can trust him. And whenever we get saved, we use the phrase sometimes, we receive him as Lord and Savior. And he saves us from our sin, and he is Lord of our lives there. That no longer do we have control. No longer am I sitting on the throne of my heart, but rather I remove myself, which is humility, and I put Christ on the throne of my heart, and I make him the Lord. He is the master. And a master is someone who has purchased there, the servant, the slave. And the Lord has purchased us. We belong to him because he shed his blood, and it's with his blood that he paid the price to buy us. And so we receive him as Lord, and we are his, and he is ours. Well, not everybody in the world is going to be cleansed from their sins. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if everybody got cleansed and went to heaven? But the Bible says that not everybody's going to be saved. The Bible says that there are going to be people who refuse to be cleansed. Just like this leper, people have sin and they don't come to Jesus. Well, the next thing we see that he did in verse 12, it says he besought him. He requested the Lord to do something for him. Isn't it a wonderful thing we can come to the Lord and say, I need thee every hour. I need you to cleanse my sins. I need you, Lord. I depend upon you. And here this leper comes recognizing his dependence. And the reason he recognized his dependence on the Lord is because he was convinced nothing else would work. Nobody else can help me. There's no amount of medicine or treatment or other doctors that can do anything to cure this leprosy, and he comes and ask Jesus to do what no one else can do. And no one else cares for us like Jesus. No one else died for our sins. No one else can cleanse us of our sins. But in order to have your sins forgiven, we have to ask Him. We're not going to automatically be cleansed just because God is a good God and God is a loving God. He is all of that. But He's also a God of righteousness and a God of justice. And in order for us to be cleansed, we must come to Him. Remember when some of the disciples were leaving and Jesus said to them, "Are you going to leave also?" And remember Peter's answer? Peter answered and said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And Jesus is the only one with the words of eternal life, and that is cleansing that we receive from Him. Well, we also see in verse 13, this is the very reason why Jesus came from heaven, for cleansing. It says, Jesus touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." It is the will of God for everyone to be cleansed. God wants everyone to be saved. We know that from 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." But even though God desires and wants everyone to be saved and cleansed, not everyone's going to be, because not everyone humbles himself and confesses his sin and asks Jesus to cleanse him. Seems so simple, doesn't it? But yet so many people refuse to acknowledge their sin. And Jesus came for that very reason. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to take away our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He says to this leper, "I will, be thou clean." And what others could not do with any kind of potions and magic and those kinds of things, Jesus was able to do it just by the word. He said, "I will, be clean," and He was. Just like God said at the very beginning, "Let there be light." And there was light. There is power in the Word of God. And the Bible says in the book of Jude that we are cleansed, or book of Titus, I believe, says we are cleansed through the Word. And so the power of the Word of God to cleanse us there. Well, Jesus said, "I will be clean," and immediately, verse 13 says, the leprosy departed from him. And that's what happens whenever we ask God to save us. When we say, "God, I'm a sinner, I can't cleanse myself of my sins, save me," He does it immediately. We don't have to go through all these steps and put away this and put away that and help God save us. He does it immediately, and He begins that life-changing effect in our lives when He saves us. But Jesus gave a command to him, what he needed to do in verse 14. Jesus charged him to tell no man, that is, right away, but he had to do something else first. "But go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded." And we won't turn back, but if you want to make a note, in Leviticus chapter 14, the first 20 verses talks about a leper being cleansed and going before the priest. And whenever he goes before the priest, he would have to come and bring an offering. There is an offering that was required before he could be cleansed. And the application for us with our sins, there is no cleansing of our sins apart from the offering. But it's not offerings that we make. We can't offer enough money or enough service, enough works. We can't offer enough. But Jesus has already offered it for us whenever he went to the cross there. In the Old Testament, they had the altar of sacrifice there. And the priest would take the lamb that would be brought to them and would slay the lamb, and the blood would satisfy there. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming when he was to be baptized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that's why he came, to cleanse us. But there had to be an offering, and we can't offer it. But Jesus made the blood sacrifice for us so that we could have our sins forgiven. And then once this happens, we see in verse 15 the results of that. It says, but so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And so the result of this cleansing is other people started to hear. And shouldn't that be a result in our lives as well? When God saves us and cleanses us from all of our sins, and he removes us from darkness on our path to hell, and he gives us new life and is on our way to heaven so that we can sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Shouldn't that result in our making his fame known abroad, as it says in verse 15? David, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, he prays in Psalm 51, and he says, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And we know that verse pretty well, most of us do, but then right after that, he says, then will I teach transgressors the way. And there was such a connection to David having a clean heart before he could have an effect on teaching other people as well. And cleansing for salvation, we see when we come to Christ, David was already a believer, and there's cleansing also for us even after salvation. Whenever we stumble and we sin and we do wrong, we go to the Lord and we confess and he cleanses us. We see that principle given in John's gospel when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. We won't take too much time and won't turn there, but remember the lesson that Jesus was teaching. He says, if you have been bathed, you don't need to take a whole bath all over again. You only need to wash your feet. And one of the lessons, there are several that Jesus was teaching there, was that once you get saved, if you sin after you're saved, you don't have to go back to the cross and get saved all over again. But you do have to confess those sins like David did and said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. We have to have those sins forgiven. And it's the same way through confessing, and Jesus is the only way. He's paid the price. He shed his blood. He has presented himself as the Lamb of God for the offering, and the only way we can be saved is through that. Well, we move on to the next miracle that he has here. Not only the leper, but the lame man who had paralysis, or as our King James calls it, palsy, and here he is paralyzed. And he comes not by himself, but others are bringing him, as we read earlier. So we see in verse 16, he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which is taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before Jesus, and they could not find by what way to bring him in because of the multitude. They went on the house and dropped him down, as we read a moment ago. So let's look at some lessons on victory. First of all, if we're going to have victory in our lives, we have to go back to the previous miracle. There has to be cleansing, first of all. And then we have to be convinced of the power of God. It tells us in verse 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was the power of the Lord present? Well, one reason was because Christ was there, and he is the power of God. But there's more to it than that. If you will look back at verse 16, I read it. Did you make the connection? If you like to circle words in your Bible and draw arrows and lines, circle the word power in verse 17 and go back to verse 16. When Jesus withdrew himself from cleansing the leper, he went into the wilderness and prayed. And if the power of God to be on Jesus, he went to God in prayer, how much more do we need to pray to have the power of God on us? And so Jesus was convinced of the power of God, and others were as well. And so Jesus goes and he prays to God. He expresses a wish to the Lord. It's not the same word that we saw when the leper came and besought him. That's a word that means to come and make your needs known. And here it is to give a wish, a different word there. So Jesus wasn't praying the same way that the leper was praying. Well, not only that, if we're going to have victory, we don't do that by ourselves. There has to be cooperation, first of all, with others, and cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Here's a man who is paralyzed, and how's he going to come to Jesus? There's no way he can come unless somebody brings him. You know, there's a wonderful lesson for us there, isn't there? There are people that are lost and without Christ, and they are paralyzed because of their sin. And how are they going to come to Jesus unless we show them the way there? And what we need to do as believers, we cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, no one comes to the Lord. The Holy Spirit works in the heart, and He convicts people of their sin and need to confess and humble themselves. And when people say no, they reject it, then they don't get the cleansing. And so we can't make people get cleansed. We can't make them get saved, but we can certainly do all that's humanly possible to bring them before the Lord, even as these friends of this paralyzed man did. So if we're going to have victory, we first have to be cleansed. We have to be convinced that the power of God is there. No matter what seems to be defeating me in my life, if I want victory over it, I can have victory. I am convinced that the power of God is there, and it's there through prayer and others' help. If one man falls, the Bible says there's another to pick him up. But sometimes we have to climb over some obstacles. And the obstacle here was the multitude in verse 19. There were so many people wanting to get to Jesus there, and so many people were there that they couldn't get to Jesus. And whenever we realize that it's difficult, sometimes we just have to make a way. They couldn't find a way. Notice there's no period after the word multitude. If you would put a period there, it would say when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. You know, sometimes people have obstacles and they just can't find a way and they quit there. And failure is only happens whenever we quit trying. And so we don't quit. We say there must be a way. And these men, they had faith in the Lord. And we need to make time. Oh, we won't find time. They couldn't find a way, but they made a way. And we have 24 hours in a day. Nobody has any more time than anyone else. You ever notice that some people can do a whole lot more in their 24 hours than some people can? Well, we have to make a way. We have to make the time to do those things. And we can't offer excuses. Sometimes, oh, well, I just can't find a way. I can't find the strength. I can't find the answer. I can't find the money. Well, they couldn't either. But they made it happen. They made a way here. And it says, they brought him in, verse 19, and they went upon the housetop, and they let him down through the tiling, which is couch, that is his cot, into the midst before Jesus there. And so what they're going to do now, in order to have victory, is to commit the situation to Jesus. They dropped him, or lowered him, they dropped him in that sense, they lowered him there right before Jesus. Just as the leper came, knowing there's nobody else that can cleanse me of this leprosy, there was nobody else that could heal this paralyzed man there. And there was nobody else that could help. There was a multitude of people, but not one of them could help. But Jesus can. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You have a situation that you think is too hard, commit it to Jesus. Pray and ask Him. He can cleanse of leprosy. He can heal of paralysis. He can do it all. And we commit the situation to Him. And when we do, we have confidence that He can do it. Verse 20, it says, and when He, Jesus, saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Now, Jesus can see faith. Can you see faith? Well, we think of faith as some abstract concept or something. Literally, Jesus saw something else. What Jesus saw was men lowering another man on a cot through the roof. But that was a demonstration of their faith. Isn't that what James says in his book? When James says faith without works is dead. If we say we have faith and we don't have works, how can people see our faith? But it's through our works that faith is demonstrated. And Jesus saw their works, that they really believed that if they could just get him to Jesus, he would be healed of his paralysis there. They were confident that Jesus could do that there. And we need to be active in our faith, even as these men were active in their faith. Well, whenever you're trying to have victory, we've seen that there are lessons on cleansing and there are lessons on victory, and we want to be victorious in our walk with the Lord, but Satan doesn't want us to. He's going to throw every obstacle in the way that he can find. Satan wants to defeat us. And so we see the next thing is criticism. When you're trying to do right and be victorious and an overcomer, there are going to be critics. And here they are in verse 21. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this that speaks blasphemies, that is, evil speaking? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And so Jesus was offering to forgive this man's sins, and they said, "This man can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins." And they're right. Only God can forgive sins. But they were wrong. This was God. This was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, here. And notice it says they reasoned. The scribes and Pharisees began to reason. But what about the four men carrying the man on the cot? They weren't reasoning. They were believing. And usually, reasoning and faith, they don't blend too well together, because you can't explain it logically. When we trust God, it goes beyond all human reason. And so here are these Pharisees trying to reason it out there, and they're being critical of Jesus. And they're going to be those who criticize you and try to put up a roadblock when you want to be cleansed and victorious in your life. Satan is going to be sure to send something to stop you, just like a multitude. But there's a way. The Bible says that there has no temptation taken man, but such is common to man, who with the temptation will also give a way of escape. There is a way, but we don't quit. We look and we pray, and God will give the power, and we can be an overcomer when we trust in the Lord. And the last thing that we see with victory, the credit goes to God. It says, verse 22, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he knows what you and I are thinking now as well. He answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Aren't you glad for that? That God has power to forgive sins? And so he said to the man, "Take up your couch and go your way." And immediately, verse 25, he arose, he took up that whence he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Notice what happened. That thing that was holding him down, the cot, he now takes that and he picks it up and goes. It is no longer holding him, but he has a grip on it. And that's what God wants us to do. We can allow sin to have a grip on us, and we can't release ourselves of it. But when we commit the situation to Jesus, he will give us victory there. And they glorified God, and here's what they said. "We have seen strange things today." Strange things. And in closing, we'll look at these strange things. That's an interesting word in the Greek. It's two words in English, strange things. It's the Greek word paradoxos. And sounds very familiar, because we have an English word, paradox, there. Something beyond one's expectation, miracles there. At that time, they hadn't seen many, and it just surpassed all their thoughts or anything that God could, Jesus could cleanse a leper, that Jesus could take this man who was paralyzed and no one else could help him, and he could give him the ability to walk. And these strange things, paradoxes in Scripture. There are three that I'll share. There are more than that. A paradox is a seemingly contradictory statement there. And that's what miracles are. They are contradictory to nature, that those things just don't happen. Paralyzed people just don't get up and walk. Well, they do when Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. Lepers don't just walk away cleansed unless Jesus says, be clean. And in the Bible, in order to get, the paradox is to give. In Luke 6:38, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you. So God says, if you want to get, you don't hoard it all up, but you give. It doesn't seem logical. Oh, that's what the Pharisees were doing, wasn't it? They tried to reason it, and the paradox of Scripture is not within reason. Well, how do you live? What does the Bible say about if you want to have life? It says you have to die. Paul says in Galatians, that is, dying to yourself, I am crucified with Christ. If you're crucified, you're dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so if I want to live, I have to die to self, confess my sin, ask God to cleanse me, and he will. And not only cleanse us, but he'll give us victory. And the third paradox, as we think about victory, all these lessons on victory. First of all, there has to be the cleansing. We're not going to have victory in our lives as Christians until we get cleansed and become a Christian. But if we want to have victory, what does the Bible say about winning this battle against Satan? He says, give up. He says, surrender there. And it just doesn't make sense. It's not reasonable that you're going to win by surrendering. But Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And the idea is surrender. There's a hymn that we sing, I surrender all. And whenever we surrender ourselves to God, that's when we have victory. God has provided the cleansing for us. God has provided the victory for us. And it is to us to act in faith and believing and claim and put to practice that what God has given to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin, from our sin like leprosy. Thank you for the victory that is ours. Lord, there may be some here that are unsaved and need to be cleansed. We pray that during our hymn of invitation, they would trust Christ for Savior. Lord, there may be believers here already cleansed. They've been saved, but been facing some battles and are feeling defeated and just can't seem to get victory. Lord, I pray that you would help them. May our trust be in you. And Lord, no matter how difficult the situation may be, help us to know that there is a way, that there's power in prayer. Jesus depended on it, and help us to depend upon prayer so that your power can reign in our lives, that we might have victory. And the reason that we desire victory is so others can hear and be influenced, and so God can get the credit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.